Ah, bless you. Do you know, I was really blessed in the worship. We are so privileged to have guys like you leading us in worship. Honestly, guys. All three of you. Honestly, there was a real anointing when you did worship. All three of you. I'm speaking to now. I'm not speaking to individuals, but I'm speaking to all three of you. There's an anointing on you when you lead worship. And, you know, God's anointing. Ooh, I'm getting a bit... Ooh. God's anointing. God's anointing is something that we can't buy, beg, steal, borrow. It's something that's a gift that's freely given, and God has given it to you.
Yeah, very good.
You need to know that and to be strong in that and to be really confident in knowing that you're anointed. And the Lord said, you've got to tell them that I've anointed them so that when they play and when they sing, actually, people do encounter me. You bring Jesus into the room. When you play and when you sing. So he wants you to know that. And I count myself, it's a privilege to be led by you in worship. And I love the journey you led us on this morning. You know, we started off from that place, didn't we? He said, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I'm a bit boomy here, Andy. That's better. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And that's a special song to me. It's a song that I sang when I first started to minister in Nepal. And many of you know, we lived over there as a family. And so that song means a great deal to me. Because when you start to minister, you know, and I don't mean just do a talk every once a year or, you know, but when you start, people start to expect you to minister regularly to them from the front like this, it's a bit scary, guys, because we're just ordinary people, okay? And unless God does something, we're just speaking and standing here in front of you looking a bit silly. Which, you know, I don't mind at one level, but at another level, I do deeply mind because actually... The kingdom of God is the most precious thing. And I want to do all that I can to promote the kingdom of heaven coming here on earth. So we stand and we sit, and I prayed that prayer because I said, Lord, they want me to minister to them for 2 whole days. I'm the main speaker here. I've never done anything like that before. So open the eyes of my heart. I need to have, that needs to come from a revelation of you. I don't want to minister me. I want to minister the things that you've shown me, the things that brought me life. If there is any life in me, then I want to pass it on. Amen. Amen. You know, and I don't know about you, but when I think about that song, it sums up in a way, or that passage that Ian read out at the beginning. This whole meeting has been fantastic. The Lord's been really speaking to us already. I'm not going to speak on that. I will get back to my subject. It ties in. You see, you read that encounter that Isaiah had, you know, and it changed his life. It set him on a course whereby he was passionately then living for God's word to come and to preach God's word and to declare God's good news or God's warnings over people and nations. And I don't know about you, but I want to stick my hat. So I've had an encounter with God like that. It wasn't the same. I didn't see heaven open and the temple filled with the train of his glory or whatever. But I had an encounter with God like that in the quietness of my room when I prayed. The whole world looked different the following day. And I cannot explain that. I just know it. There was a great joy and a peace that came upon me. And I wish I could give it to you because it was profound. It took me from being an agnostic unbeliever to being a believer overnight. And I just knew that God was there. Still took me 4 years to work out what was going on in my life until I eventually surrendered completely to Jesus and started following him. But that's the reason I'm standing here today, because of an encounter with God, which has completely wrecked me for doing anything else. Everything I do, everything I say, everything, all my life now, every decision I make practically, not every, but practically, is built around that, from that base. Of knowing that there's a Father in heaven who loves me utterly, who loves this world completely and passionately, and is literally died to meet every one of us. And I do believe he's called me to actually help do that in this country. So, like, here I am, send me. I stuck my hand up. Here I am, send me. Well, that's a crazy, stupid prayer, you know. At one level, it's a crazy, stupid prayer because you can do nothing. But when the Spirit of God is on us, you know, we this jar of clay, this pathetic body, you know, this can be transformed and actually do something miraculously beautiful. And that's our privilege as sons and daughters of the King. When we know that God has given us of his Spirit. When we know that, we don't, not just an intellectual assent, oh, wouldn't it be nice, or it is nice, oh, isn't that lovely, God's given. But when you know it, wow, we are emboldened to go out on the waves. You make us brave. It's the love of God that makes us brave. It's only the love of God that makes us brave. That when we know the love of God, it drives out all fear. There's too much fear in this world, and you know, it's the love of God that we all need a fresh revelation of. Anyway, I better get on with my talk. Talking Jesus. I can get away with anything with that kind of title, can't I? Ian just asked me to come and talk a bit about evangelism, about passing on the good news, stirring us up to that. And, you know, I'm going to talk without notes, but I'm going to base my slides on the slides that I used at the River Together. Who was there at the River Together? Only a handful of people, so you're going to get blessed again. And but really, this is why I live. This is why I live and breathe this stuff. I don't need notes to speak on this subject because actually, it's something that God has placed within me deeply. And so, I hope it will be a blessing to you. Can we just move on? Thank you. Anybody that knows River? Oh, you clicked twice. Anyone that knows River knows that actually. We're really encouraging one another to do three things every day. To look on the face of Christ, to love everyone we meet, and to live like heaven is near. That's something as a leadership team we wrestled with for many months, and we really felt this is what the Lord was saying to us 5 years ago, and this is what we live by. And we believe that if every one of us does these three simple things, meditates on them, and really lives them, actually we will have revival. So it all starts with looking on the face of Christ. It all starts with that encounter. It all starts with the heavens being opened and us having a revelation of God's glory. Now, that sounds like a religious phrase, a revelation of God's glory. But you know what? When God reveals his glory to Moses, it's his character. It's his grace. It's his goodness. It's his willingness to forgive. It's his compassion. It's his love, basically. So when we look on the face of Christ, we're looking for that. A glimpse of glory. We're looking for just to be overawed by the goodness of God. To be reminded, have a revelation of the fact that he is for us, that he is with us, and that with him we can do anything. Everything flows from that point. We can't, you know, we're wasting our time unless we really have a full revelation of that. No one's going to believe us when we talk about God unless we have an overflowing joy that comes from really knowing that he's there. Never trust a depressed preacher, you know, or someone who's trying to. They're not living in the love of God. And that's we all get down. Don't get me wrong. And there are times to mourn, but you know what I'm saying here, don't you? It's about an attitude towards life. When we know there's a Father in heaven who loves us, there's an abundance that fills us of joy and of hope and of peace, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Don't blame me. So, that all begins with that. It all begins with that. Jesus is incredible. Incredible. There is no one like Jesus. You know, when I first got saved, I used to go looking at Muhammad. Looking at Buddha. That's a cross sea. Muhammad. I used to go looking at other. I said, how can Christians be so arrogant as to say that we're the only way when there's good people looking for answers in other places? So I read about them. I read their stories. I tried to understand what was behind them. Why were there people following them? And actually, there are some good things that they did that they may have done and said. There are some good things in there. But none of them come anywhere close to Jesus. Honestly, if they were in the room, you would not notice them. Compared to the glory that surrounds Jesus. He was so full of kindness, so full of love, so full of grace, so full of compassion, so full of hope. He is the light of the world. No other light has any light of itself. It just reflects his light. Honestly, the wisdom that he preached, The words that he used, the way he revealed God as Father. Wow. When you speak to God, say this, Daddy. Woo! The way he revealed God is just incredible. If only we could live in it. That revelation that Jesus had of his Father, so that we, like him, could say, I only do what I see my dad doing. Because that's all we all do, really, fundamentally. We only do what we see our dad doing. What's your dad doing? What do you see your dad doing? What do you see your Father in heaven doing? Because that's what you will end up doing. I'll tell you what I see him doing. I see him loving people. I see him being gracious, extending mercy, healing people, giving them stuff they don't deserve. That's what I see all the time. Giving them freedom, giving them choice, not pushing his way in, not barging his way in, but when he's invited, rushing in with lots of gifts. That's the way I see my Father. It's a glorious thing to know your Father's like that. So everything flows from that. Look on the face of Christ. Love. Love everyone we meet. It's all about love. The reason God made the world, he wanted sons. He wanted community of people that love one another and loved him. That's the reason for creation. That's why we're here. The world was made for us. And we were to fill it with glory. Reflected glory. Which is, as you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's our role. So, and when we love people, we reflect his glory. One day, the whole earth is going to be covered with the glory of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And it says, people like you and me reflect his glory. That becomes true. And I'm glad that all over this country, all over the Western world, all over the world now, we're embracing the fact, actually, our message is primarily one about love. It's about the Father's love for this world, for each and every person. And that's releasing fruitfulness in every continent. And the kingdom is coming as a result. So we love everyone we meet. We don't just love those who deserve it. Jesus said, even the pagans do that. Even the pagans invite people round for dinner who's invited them round for dinner. Says nice things to those who say nice things back. Everyone does that. Don't be like that. He says, love everyone. Love your enemies. So that's what we're doing. We love our enemies. We love everyone. That doesn't mean we treat everybody the same. We're not stupid. Well, I might be, but you're not. You know, we're not stupid. It just means that actually we want the best for someone. So when we encounter them, we think about that person. What was the very best thing that could happen to that person, Dan, today? What's the best thing that could happen to that? Can I do anything to make that happen for him? How can I make his day better for having met me? That's what love is. It's just taking the time just to think for a moment about someone else and saying, what is their need? Where are they hurting? What can I do to put a smile on their face? That's love. And we choose to love everyone that we meet because no one is offended by love. Love is attractive. And when we do that, we lift up Jesus. We don't put people off Jesus. Actually, we create a place where Jesus is more likely to be accepted. Actually, you know, guys, as Christians, I want to cheer us up because actually I've got some good news this morning. Just generally for Christians, not just for you guys. You guys are particularly good at this. But, you know, generally, Christians are actually pretty well liked. I don't know if anyone's heard of the Barna Research Group, but they were employed or contracted by a whole bunch of Christian denominations in the UK over the last couple of years to run some research. And they've done some research which involves canvassing 4,000 people, young and old. And what they say is that about 67% of people know born-again Christians. About 67% of people know a Christian. And most of them have talked to them about their faith. Do you know what they say is, when they do a survey, in that survey, they ask them what they thought of their Christian friend. It's mind-boggling. You can get the booklet, Talking Jesus. You can get the results if you want. I'm going to get a whole bunch for our leaders, so encourage them. But what they say is, actually, they quite like us. They think that we're quite good. They don't think we are hypocritical. They don't think that we're trying to put them down. They actually think we're trying to do something good. That's encouraging, isn't it? It's because we're loving the world. We're loving the world. And when we love the world, they recognize it. And then we get to live like heaven is near. You know, guys, the good news Jesus came announcing was, he said, repent, which just means think again. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's almost within reach. You can grab it. It's coming. The kingdom of heaven is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's come, actually. And it's coming. That was his good news. That was the message. The vision that Daniel had about the rock that was uncut by human hands, that was flung at the statue, it smashed all the kingdoms of the world and grew to fill the whole world bit by bit, that kingdom is coming. It's at hand. It came with Jesus. And from that moment, it's been growing. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's growing. It's growing. It's growing. So we live like heaven is near. We live like we expect that the kingdom is coming. It's come and is coming and is going to continue to come. That means we look to see healing. We look to see freedom come. We look to see deliverance. We look to see salvation. We look to see church grow. We look to see the people of God being the head and not the tail. We expect that. We don't retreat into some kind of Christian ghetto saying, oh, the world's terrible. We've got to pray, brothers. It's not surprising because the gospel is an offense to everybody. That's why we're not many of us. We don't believe that. We believe the kingdom's come, it's coming, it's growing. And we live like it's just within reach. And when we meet someone, we say, hey, do you want a bit of heaven? Do you need a bit of heaven today? Do you want some healing for your body? Because I believe that healing will flow in the name of Jesus when I pray for you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That takes faith. Childlike faith in the Father. What do you see him doing? If you see him do it, you'll do it yourself. If you don't see him do it, nothing will make you do it because you actually won't be sure. But if you see him do it, you'll do it. Come on, let's do it. I see him doing it. I see him doing it. So we're looking at live. We're always looking at love, but we're focusing on live this morning. Living like heaven is near. Living in a way which actually helps people to access the kingdom of heaven. Living as ambassadors for Christ in this world, which is what each and every one of us in this room, if we've invited Jesus into our heart, you are an ambassador for Jesus. That means that you represent him wherever you go. That's incredible. And I didn't say that. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. You're an ambassador for Christ. You represent him. Wow. Think about that just the next time you go into your workplace. I'm the ambassador of heaven. That's a pretty cool title. But that's who we are. I'm not making that up. That's not just a nice sounding soundbite. That is reality. You are I am an ambassador of heaven. So when I go into a place, I represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the maker of heaven and earth. That's who I represent. You know, and the kingdom behind the ambassador backs up what the ambassador says. So when they say something, when they make friends with a nation, the kingdom makes friends with that nation. When they bless a nation, actually the kingdom will bless that nation. God says, all that I have is yours. You can give it away to whoever you like. That's your authority being given to you by Jesus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And this is just the background to the stuff. I read out these verses from Matthew. These verses changed my life. I read the Sermon on the Mount when I was a 20-year-old man. Got on my knees and prayed for the first time. And said, God, if you're there, come into my life. If you're there. I have no idea if you're not, but it sounds good. What Jesus taught sounds good. If you really can help me with anger and with lust and with pride, the attitudes of my heart, then come, I need you. But part of that was these words. And it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. Do you have the next slide? But to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they hide a lamp. They throw light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Unbelievable. You know, just think, these words spoken by Jesus were spoken to his disciples. They were spoken to the ones that came and heard him on the hill. Just like you've come and listened this morning. If Jesus was here this morning, you come to hear him talk, he would say exactly the same to you right now. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. That's a pretty big responsibility, Jesus, you're laying on me right now. But that is what he says to us. You are the light of the world. You think, hold on a minute, there must be others. Me? But that's what he says to the crowds that followed him. You are the light of the world because you carry a revelation of God's goodness that the world doesn't yet know. That's what it means. That is the light of the world. You carry it and you can reveal it wherever you go. You reveal Jesus. You reveal the Father. When you live the way he's asking us to live, when we look, love, and live in that kind of way, we reveal him. When they look at us, they see his reflected glory. I see that on Florence. Reflected glory. I see it on Elizabeth. Reflected glory. I see it. I see it on Mary. I see it. I see it in Dan. I don't even know you, but I see reflected glory. I see it on Callum. I don't know you either. But I see it in reflected glory. I see it. We are the light of the world. That's an amazing thing that Jesus said. You are the light of the world. Live in such a way that others see that. Don't try and hide it, he says. That's a bit odd, isn't it, really, for Jesus to say that? Because later on he's saying, don't do your good deeds in front of men, to be seen by men. Don't give to the poor with trumpets. Don't keep on praying on street corners. You know, don't do your religious things in front of men. Do them behind a closed door. Do them in secret, he says. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So what's it? Make up your mind, Jesus. Is it, do it like a lamp on a lampstand so that everyone in the house can see? Or is it, do it in secret? Which is it? It's living it. It is living it. The thing is, you see, well, let's move on. Oh, well, I'll come back to that in a second. The thing is, it's all to do with our motivation of our heart. That's the thing. What's our motivation? Is our motivation to really reflect God's goodness? In which case, let it shine. Are we really seeking to love the other person? In which case, let it shine. But if we're thinking about ourselves and how we look, then hide. Best not do that in public. It's okay to pray in public if actually you're praying because you really care about the situation you're praying about and your mind is set upon that and you're just doing it with passion and with exuberance. But if you're praying to be seen by people, there's no reward with that. Father can't use that. It's not an effective prayer because it's about you. It's not about the situation. So our motives really influence what goes on. Anyway, why did Jesus say we're the light of the world? Because there is so much darkness. You know, we with our rebellion on this earth, have just created so much darkness. And, you know, the refugee crisis is just one aspect of that. We're the light of the world. We're meant to drive this darkness out. That's our role. So we invade every bit of darkness that we see. We get involved. We don't hide from it and say, look how bad it is. We don't run away in fear from it, thinking, I hope it doesn't get me. But no, we walk into it because we're the light. That's what you do. If there's a dark place in my house, I turn the light on. You are the light of the world. So if you see a dark place, I'm going to send Barbara in. You'll light it up. Or Sue, I'll send Sue in. She's a bright light. I'll send her in. Next slide, please. and the next. I've already done that one, haven't I? That's the reason why. Just click because something will appear there. It's not how does this look, it's how can I love? That's the question. When we talk about doing the stuff that we want to do to see kingdom come, the kingdom of God come. It's not how do I look, it's just how can I love? That's the question that needs to be on our minds when we're confronted with someone. Not, does this look good if I'm praying for the sick person in public? There's no glory in that. But actually, oh God, I know that you would want to do something for this person. I absolutely know that you would want to bring relief to this situation. I'm going to step out and offer to pray. I don't want to, but I feel like I should. I'm going, and we do that. There's glory in that. There's glory in that. Next, please. And, you know, we are doing this not because we're targeting people, not because we want bigger churches with more income and more tithe, although that would be nice because, you know, the kingdom of God is constrained by resource at the end of the day. I'd like to employ all of you as full-time evangelists. Seriously, I'd like to employ a whole army of full-time evangelists, not people that are going to preach at people, but people that are going to love people. Fantastic. That'd be wonderful. And we do it as an expression of love because we have been blessed. It goes back to the look. We've been blessed with a revelation of God's love for us and an experience of God's love for us that fills us to overflowing. Fills us to overflowing. I love that Godfrey Birtle song. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. Do you know that song? I'm singing, I'm dancing, because Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, nor can I keep it quiet. Oh, it's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. I love that song because it actually is a reflection of what's going on inside of me. And when he starts to play, I think, yeah, come on, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. So I can't help but dance to along to it. But it's like the Pied Piper. He plays that song and I'm going to dance. Because we know that God is good and it's overwhelmed us. And, you know, when you've got something which is wonderful and actually it's not just enough for you to have and no one else to have something, when you know there's an abundant supply of it and you can give it away, only meanies would not give it away. Only meanies would not give it away. Let's give it away. Freely you've received, freely give. And I know I haven't deserved a tenth of the good things that God has done for me. And yet he continues to be good to me and to be gracious to me and to be kind to me. That means I can do that for other people. We want others to be blessed. Next slide, please. And, you know, and when we think about this, you know, it's great that we do community events. And since taking on the leadership, I've seen lots of community events start. They're fantastic because that's a way of us as churches loving our communities together, actively serving our communities, whether that's with food banks or whether that's with festivals to bring joy, to bring freedom to people. You know, we had one a couple of weeks in Maine, which was just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And we've been doing it for 5 or 6 years in Larchfield, and to see people now come along because they're from the community, because they love it, because it's their event. They actually now run some of the stalls with us. They own it. They belong to that thing, the Larchfield Festival. But it's done because we love Jesus and we want them to be blessed. We want their kids to have a good time. We want them to have a good time. And they know it now. We're not doing it with any ulterior motive apart from we want to bless them. But in the wanting to bless, they're now owning it. And actually, they're asking for prayer. We always have offering prayer for healing on the day. On that morning, I had a lady come up to me. And she said, are you going to be here this afternoon? Because I've invited a friend, you know, and I've told her she's got to come and get prayed for. This is not Christian, as we would recognize a Christian. And yet she's now trusting that God loves to heal and inviting people to come and receive prayer. How fantastic is that? Excellent. That is wonderful, isn't it? At the end of it, Carey was speaking to a reporter and about halfway through the day, and he said, you know, this is incredible. He's blown away by it. And he was asking her all about it, how it worked and what they were doing. And at the end of it, he put his microphone away and he said, now tell me, what's this about Jesus and about God? You know, what, This, I know that's what. Why? But how does that result in this? So she gave him the gospel. Fantastic. So I love the community stuff. We're rubbing shoulders with people left, right, and centre now. And actually, they would miss us if we stopped meeting now. If River Church folded, our towns would miss us. There's a challenge for you guys in Slough. You know, you're a relatively small congregation, but actually you can serve this community somehow, together. What are you going to do together to love this place? What are you going to do? Come on. What are you doing? Let's do something together. So we love Alpha. Alpha's great when people get interested and they want to know more about faith. They can come along to Alpha. Alpha is just wonderful. Wonderful. Great, relaxed place. Lots of laughter, lots of life, good food, good discussion about the real things that matter. I used to run Alpha for 12 years. Brilliant. Loved it. People get saved on Alpha every time it's run. Fantastic. But really, you know, you are the light of the world. And it's time for us all to shine. We're not going to reach this land unless every one of us is overflowing with the goodness of God and actually intentionally giving it away, which is all evangelism is. I know people hate that word because it's been abused quite a lot by shouty people. But actually, it's just about giving away the love of God. And, you know, when we think about that, this is not about us, you know, being clever. This is not about us having all the answers. This is not about us notching up on our Bibles the number of people that we've managed to get to say the sinner's prayer. This is just about loving people so that they become a bit more aware of the glory of God. And if after every encounter with you, they're left feeling a little bit better about God, a little bit more open to the fact that maybe Jesus is real, a little bit more persuaded that actually Christians aren't nutters, but can be quite kind. Every time that happens, they get closer to the kingdom. And on that journey, great things will happen. They will bump into lots of people, bump into scary people like Ian. I said that because I knew you wouldn't take offence, you know. I could have choose anybody in the room. Or me. They can come and watch me but dance. But everyone's on a journey. That's the truth. Next slide, please. That's why I encourage everybody to be pests. You know, not to be pesty. Not to be real pests, but just to pray, to enjoy, to scatter, and to tell your story. Because prayer is key, because when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, that really empowers the Lord to get involved in what we do. He won't force his way in. That's just the truth. He's not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. But when we pray, hey, Dad, will you please help? He can't resist it. He's going to come in and help. Jesus says, if you open the door and knock, I stand at the door and knock. If you open it, I will come in. I could open it, but I'm not going to. I'm knocking. And he said that to the church, not to non-Christians, to you and me. I'm knocking. Can I come in? If we allow him into our lives on a daily basis, he will come. So we pray. We enjoy it. We've got to enjoy this stuff, guys. This is not a duty that we've got to do. This has got to be fun. So, you know what I do? Part of my outreach now is to play football. I love to play football. I haven't played football for ages and ages, but my 7-year-old boy likes playing football, and lots of his mates play, so we now play with the dads. So once a week, we play for an hour and a half with about 10 dads and about 10 kids. Fantastic. I love it. I enjoy it. In the midst of that, I get to rub shoulders with people that ask questions. I'll tell you a couple in a minute. My wife does a book group with some of the parents. Fantastic. She enjoys that. She enjoys reading, but she also enjoys getting to know these people that don't yet know the love of Jesus. We're being intentional. We're not going out. They're not targets. They're people that we care about. We love. They're friends. They just don't happen to know God yet. They will. If I have anything to do with it. Because I just want them to be blessed. Anyhow, I'll tell you a few stories in a second before I finish. And then, you know, we've got to scatter our seed, guys. Too many of us worry about how we're going to come over. We worry about it. Oh, how will they, if I offer prayer, maybe they'll be offended. You know, if I tell them about Jesus, maybe they won't like me. Or maybe they'll laugh at me. We worry and we let things stop us from, and we look for the best soil to put our seed. Oh, that's a perfect bit of soil. I'll just test it a bit more. I'll just examine it a bit more. And then maybe after a few weeks or a few months, maybe I'm going to plant a seed there. That looks good. That's a lot of us, our approach to evangelism is like that. That's not the approach. It's scatter. Scatter. Yeah, some seed will fall on the path and the birds will come and eat it up. That's what will happen. Happened to Jesus. Some seeds will fall on rocky soil. It may spring up. You'll rejoice. This is bearing fruit. And then it will die. You think, oh. Some seeds will grow and they'll be choked. The people won't actually produce much fruit because of the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth. Some seed will fall on good soil and it will bear fruit. But our job is not to worry about that. Our job is to scatter the seed. The good news of the kingdom. We scatter it. Our job is not to find the perfect soil. Our job is to scatter. Woohoo! I'm having fun. I'm just scattering the seed. Okay. It's not the time to look for the perfect opportunity, but to take every opportunity. And we've got to tell our stories. Because you can only really tell your story. No one else can tell your story. And you can't tell anybody else's story. So what is it that you've seen about Jesus that you love? You can tell that. What is it that's happened to you that actually has brought joy and life to you? You can tell, you can share that. What revelation have you had about the Father's kindness? You can give that away. Back to look. They're all interrelated. But the more we look, the more we love, the better our live will be. That's just the way it is. So I just want to tell a few stories. Can we just, one more slide? One of the interesting things from this survey is when people were asked what are the main things that help them find faith, one was growing up in a Christian home, 41%. 41% of us grew up in faith. That's not to be ashamed of. That's great. Fantastic. I wish I grew up in faith. I learned a lot of lessons from not growing up in faith. But look, then there's 28% were really affected by attending a church service. 28%. When's the last time we invited someone to a church service, not a funeral or wedding? When's the last time you invite someone to come down and stand before this scary fella and his wife and listen to this wonderful worship? When's the last time that they got to see the passion that there is in this room? Because you invited them. I was invited to a service, which wasn't a funeral or wedding, that changed my life. That's why I eventually surrendered to Jesus. My brother invited me, and I went along. I thought it was terrible, to be honest with you. I honestly thought it was terrible, but in the midst of it, God spoke to me, and it changed my life. When we bring someone into this environment, we bring them into the place where God actually could speak to them very powerfully. And I've seen it again and again and again and again. We intellectualize, we justify why we don't invite our friends, because actually, oh, they'll be scared by, these guys are freaky. But they'll be scared by this, or they'll be put off by that. And we reason ourselves out of it. But actually, if we invite people, we have a culture of inviting people. When they come, they experience the love of God. I've heard it again and again from people that visit River, our congregations. They say to us, wow, I don't know what it was, but I walked through, I felt the love. Or in the worship, I started crying. I don't know why. It's the Holy Spirit working in their lives. One lady came, a lady I'll call Sarah, came a couple of years ago. And I felt like I had a word. And I said, Lord, I felt there's someone here who's desperate to see Jesus. They're like Zacchaeus, the tax collector, climbing a tree to see Jesus. They can't see him yet, but they want to see him. They're climbing a tree. I said, if that's you, then stick your hand up. The lady put her hand up. She gave her life to the Lord that morning. She's on fire today. On fire! She's desperate to share the good things that she knows about Jesus with her friends at university. But unless someone had brought her to church 2 years ago, the Lord wouldn't have done that. Not that way, anyway. You might have found another way, despite our rebellion. But you know what I mean? Let's not be ashamed of church. Because 28% of people say it's been an important part of their journey. 28%. 27% say reading the Bible. You know, I love to read the Bible. I've told you how someone bought me a Bible at university and it changed my life. I stand here today because a man, actually, he works in Slough, Matthew Flowerday, if you meet him, shake his hand. Because he bought me a Bible at university. I didn't ask him for one. I thought he was nuts. Honestly. He was always happy. He smiled a lot. He laughed a lot. He seemed a bit innocent. I liked that. So I said to him, you know, what do you think life's all about? He said, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, no thanks. You're crazy. You talk to an invisible man. Yeah, but he said to me, have you read the Bible? I said, as a child, yeah. It was a nice story, but really, it's not relevant. He said, have you read it as an adult? I said, no. He said, maybe you should. I said, maybe I will. A few days later, he comes in with a Bible. Gives it to me. Won't let me pay for it. Then I start to read it one night when I'm bored out of my head with maths assignments, and God speaks to me through the word. This is powerful word, life-giving word. There's no life in the words itself, but when people read it, God's spirit gets on them. God's spirit gets on them, and he says, wow, have you thought about this? This is a revelation now that comes. A revelation that comes to a non-Christian. That's what came to me, revelation. And it changed me. Let's be proud of the Bible. It's a fantastic book. It's changed my life. I read it every day because I get life from it. It reveals to me the wonderful God that made us. So I love to buy Bibles to people. One of my first friends at work, I used to go away and read the Bible at lunchtime, come back so happy. She would say, what are you doing, taking drugs? I say, well, you could say that. Me and the mate, I was leading to the Lord, a friend, and we were both coming back high as kites after reading the Bible. And I said, no, we're just reading the Bible. He said, you're kidding me. I said, if you don't believe me, come and find out. So she did. She actually came and turned to our Bible study. So we read the Bible together, and we came back as high as kites again. And she said, can I buy a Bible? I said, yes, of course you can. No, it's a free country. So she bought herself a big study Bible. She joined us for 6 months. And do you know what happened in those 6 months? Faith came. Because faith comes by hearing the word.
That's right.
Faith comes. She saw it in action in our lives. She read it and she liked what she read. Faith came. She's now gloriously saved, living in Ireland. Another guy I just met recently in the last few years, but he came to me again at Christmas and said, look, I know that that God is there. You've shown that to me, but I'm struggling with these other things in my life. I said, well, really, if you really want to be free, invite Jesus into your heart. He said, I'm not sure. I said, take a Bible. Take a Bible. Take a Bible. Because I know, you see, that if you read the Bible, faith comes. That's my experience. So I gave him a Bible. He said to me a few months later, you know what? He said, it's working. I'm overcoming that thing I was struggling with. I'm overcoming. And he said, when I get into trouble, I pick up the Bible and it goes. I don't even have to read it. He said, the funny thing happened the other day. Jehovah's Witnesses came around and I quoted them a bit of scripture, a bit of the Bible, and I can't even remember having read it, but I quoted it to them. It's having a powerful effect upon him. He called me up just 2 weeks ago and said, you never guess what you'll love this, he said. I went for some exam with his new work, and the examiner prayed for him. And said, he had a word of God for him and said that God's on your life and God's got this for you and that for you, and gave him a cross. I said, glory. I said, God's speaking to you really loudly, my friend. I don't think he can speak any louder. He's on a journey. He's cut every conversation I have with him, I want to leave him with a bit more glory, a bit more love, to draw him with cords of kindness into the arms of his Father. Because God loves him. And he's going to come to faith. I'm not going to force him. I'm not going to make him do it. I could have twisted his arm into praying the prayer the other day, but I'm not going to do that. He's going to choose to do it. He's going to come to me. So let's buy Bibles. Conversations. You know, conversations are just amazing. You know, with those footballers I've told you about, I'm having so many conversations. One of them I was at a barbecue with this summer, and he said, so tell me, he said, you know, what's all this about Christian? What's all this about your faith? How did it start? How did you end up leading a church, for goodness sake? Why did you throw in your IT career? So I told him. 20 minutes he listened to me as I told my story of how Jesus impacted my life. He's invited us around for dinner in a couple of weeks. Lord Jesus. I Lord Jesus, I just love the guy. And I just want that time to be filled with glory and for him to come away a bit more hungry for your kingdom. Yes. Last week, watching the rugby in the pub. It was a better week last week. More joy-filled. See, last night I abandoned England for a party. That was terrible. Week before, I was down the pub supporting England and we won.
It was your fault.
So it's my fault, yeah. Basically. But anyway, we were having a laugh and a joke with these guys that play football. There's about 14 of us down there. And they were having a bit of a laugh at my faith. So I can't remember now how faith came up, but it came up and they just had a bit. It was friendly. It wasn't nasty. And then one of the guys said to me, just sidled up to me and said, of course, I lost my faith when I was holding my son in my arms and felt the warmth leave his body, felt him go cold. And he told me how he lost an 8-week-old son. What do you say in those circumstances? How can I be glory and light in that? How can I talk about the love of God in that? But I just had to try. Not to win the intellectual argument, but just to let him know there's a Father in heaven who cares for him and wept over that death. That's what I told him. I said, God wept over the death of your boy. It was not part of his plan. He never intended it. It wasn't some part of some great cosmic scheme to work good out of that. God will bring good out of it, but actually, it was tragic. It was a result of the rebellion and war. So many things happen on this earth that God hates, and that was one of them. Just a little conversation, but at the end of that conversation, he had a light in his eye and smiled at me and said, you know what, I feel a bit better. What you've shared has helped me a bit. A little bit of glory comes with our conversation. And when people, I don't mean we don't barge our way into conversations, but if someone, as someone said to me this week, waxed a tennis ball over the net and asked me a question, the ball is now in my court. What do I do with it? I could let it go, or I could whack it right back. I always choose to whack it right back. As Peter says, be prepared to give an answer, defense, for what's the hope that you have. I love that. When we get an opportunity for someone says, why do you believe what you believe? Whack it right back. I don't try and then force the gospel down them. I don't try and tell them the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation. I don't tell them my whole life history, but I answer it in the spirit of the conversation. If they've asked a glib question, I'll give them a glib answer. If they've asked a deep question and we're sitting down together, I'll give them a longer answer. Do you know what I mean? But if they've whacked the tennis ball, I will whack the tennis ball back. And if they whack it back again, I'll give them some more. But if they don't, I just let it go. Because then if you let it go, there's glory. If you try and force your way in, actually you've undone the good work. The conversations are so brilliant, guys. And every time we do these things, we give God a chance to really speak to people and for them to taste and see that he's good, to experience his goodness. This is the life that we have, to really live as ambassadors for Christ. And in this season, I believe because of the things that God has been revealing to his church, preparing his bride in this season, with the knowledge of his love and his kindness, with the power of the Holy Spirit, more and more Christians are getting comfortable actually praying for the sick, actually prophesying over people, believing they're speaking the word of God. More and more of us confidently stepping out to bless people with the power of the gospel. And also forgetting about kind of religion, forgetting about denominations, actually just working for kingdom. We're all on the same team. I want to bless every church. I want every church to be overflowing. But, forgetting about that, now we're working together. These are good days, and the atmosphere is changing over this nation. Part of this survey says that younger people are more prepared to talk about Jesus than old now. That wasn't true 50 years ago. It's true now. It also says that 1 in 5 of the people we've talked to are open to have another conversation. That means any one time, with the circle of friends and neighbours and colleagues that we have, 1 in 5 of them is ready to have another conversation. That's pretty good odds, isn't it? For scattering our seeds, it's a bit like the 1 in 4 that Jesus had, you know. It should encourage us, guys. And, Jesus is so beautiful and so loving and so kind and so much good news that we just got to give him away. We just have to find every opportunity to live our lives as ambassadors for heaven, to be lights of the world. Last slide, because I've overrun my time. I'm terrible. Look at that. I've gone way over. I just want to leave you with that lovely little picture. If you haven't got a smile, I'll give you one of mine. Be filled and be overflowing with the love of God. Love everyone. Look to deposit glory. You carry glory. You're the light of the world. Jesus says you're the light of the world. Look to be light. Look to actually leave a place lighter than you found it. Give Bibles. Invite folk into the joy-filled life that you have, either around your home or at church or going out with your mates. Just enjoy it. Stop burdensome. It's fun. And then let Jesus speak to them through the things that you do and say and through the things that they experience in life. And let's lead a whole host of people into the loving arms of our God. Because that's what's going to happen, guys. And it's happening in our culture. It's happening in Coleraine. Thousands of people, over 4,000 people in the last 2 years have responded on the streets and asked Jesus into their lives. It's happening in England. Go up to Bedford, to the King's Arms. They're leading folk regularly to Christ week in, week out. It's happening down in Margate with my friend Mike Andrea and his church. People leading regularly to Christ. This is the season to be sowing our seed and scattering our seed generously. I really believe it. And we've got to see it happen here. Amen? Amen? Amen.
Yes.
Come on. So if you want to stand up and say, here I am, send me. If you're serious about that, because God would, you know, God's not going to force his way in, but if you're serious, then stand up. Because there's a whole jug here that needs your prayers, apparently. The handle and the lid. Why not? It's the names that are written on the bits of paper inside. The people that you care about, the people that you love. They need the church of Jesus to be the light, to really be filled to overflowing. Come on, let's do this for Jesus. Let's be the brightest lights we can possibly be and know that he's going to fill these jars of clay with glory. Father, you are incredible. And so often we're like that seed that gets choked by the busyness of life, by the deceitfulness of wealth. We run after things that actually don't bring us any joy, don't bring us any glory, don't bring you any glory. Forgive us for that. And Lord, we want to stand here right now and say, here I am, send me. Today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, this week and next week, this month and next month, this year and next year. Father, we say, here I am, send me. I give you permission to take control of this life, to really, Lord God, capture me with such a vision of your glory that I'm ruined for anything else but sowing the seed of the kingdom. I want to be a gloriously generous scatterer of seed, because I believe that the time has come. Your light is shining brightly. Lord Jesus, fill us with your spirit right now. Empower us to be good news. Empower us again. Anoint us again. When we're scared, when we get opportunities, there's always fear that arises in our heart. Shall I say something? Shall I? It's easier not to. Father, when we have that fear that comes, let us remember the words of that song. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am an ambassador for Christ. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a co-worker with my God. I'm the light of the world. Fill us with that knowledge, that certain confidence, a revelation that we really do carry your kingdom. And give us the courage to pray for the sick, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to mend broken hearts, to set the captive free. Give us courage, Lord Jesus, to believe actually we really are anointed to bring heaven to earth, to live like heaven is near, to buy Bibles, to invite folk into the glorious life that we have in Christ, whether it's church or whether it's home, to invite folk into our lives, to be open, to let your light shine on us, in us, and through us. Come, Holy Spirit, and empower us and anoint us. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray for every name that's written on that, on those bits of paper in that jug. We cry out to you, Jesus. We cry out to you, Lord God. Help us to be lights that they notice. And we trust that you're speaking to them. You're knocking on the door of their hearts. Come on. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for every one of them. And for those that even that aren't yet written on bits of paper in that jug, we want to add more names. But Father, we cry out to you for opportunities to be light, for opportunities to share the good news that we carry, and to be filled up to overflowing with more and more bits of good news and revelations of your goodness and love. Lord Jesus, let this place burn brightly. Let life, your abundant life you promised, overflow in this community, within the church and beyond, throughout this town. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome. Thanks,
amen. Amen. Awesome.